The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. Merry Christmas to you. Happy holidays. In with me today, in for Danny Higgins, who was in for Kelly Bidlin. It's the great Wyatt Tomchek, everybody. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. Glad to be back with you. I haven't done this in a while, so if I screw up anything, you want to email Danny Higgins.
Danny Higgins?
For all the complaints for a numbers game today.
Makes sense. Can I get a little wrestling from you a little later on the show?
Of course.
I need an explanation on something.
Oh, I always love to talk about wrestling.
Yeah.
You know what I'm excited for? I'm excited for Are We Sure? Because I found some funny ones that I think you're going
to
enjoy.
Oh, you've put together an Are We Sure, have you?
Yes. Right. You put the challenge out to me, so I had to succeed.
Are We Sure? Wyatt Tomchek created a little later on the show. We'll go through all the NFL, the all remaining NFL games of Week 17. JVT will be joining us later today, as will Sia Najad with his Week 17 thoughts in the National Football League. Wait, this can't be right. Jeff Parlay, producer number 5-8, the Grover Cleveland of producers.
Oh, it's 5-8. I thought it was 5-9.
Yeah, 5-8.
Let me.
Kelly's 9, by the way.
Is Kelly 9? Okay. I don't know why I thought he was 10.
No, he's 9.
Danny's approaching 10. How long? It's 3 months.
You gotta
months,
be
right?
three consecutive months to be qualified.
I think Danny's 3 consecutive months.
No. But like to actually be the sole producer. Is Danny like, is Kelly no longer a producer? Is that what we're saying? Is that what we've decided?
Okay, I guess co-producer. Well, what if, co-producer? We would just bump it up to 6 months.
9.5 then. Okay.
Okay.
We should probably talk about this off air.
Yeah.
All right, then on air. It's Jeff Parlay, Grover Cleveland producers. He'll be on here. And here's the deal on this Friday. So usually, Wyatt, it's the Fezzik, Felica, Dr. Bob Friday. Dr. Bob will be here. We will have Dr. Bob's play of the week. That will not go anywhere. But Felica's on a cruise. Last we heard from Felica, he was, I think it was St. Kitts, and then it was Antigua.
Much needed vacation for him.
Yeah. He's working too hard, that guy. Antigua, by the way, you know what they're famous for? 365 beaches, one for every day of the year.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
That's their thing. And Fezzik is under the weather. Fezzik does not feel well, so Fezzik won't be here today. So we won't have Stevie to pick on today for three segments.
Hey, what did you say? He had a migraine?
He was a little worse than that. Ooh. Yeah, it was not a laughing matter. Yesterday, the National Football League, triple header. There was a quintuple header in the NBA, but three in a row in the NFL. I don't want to say I felt more disconnected from a Christmas Day triple header than, well, there's never been a triple that. You know, there has been triple headers before. But this was just not a great slate of football. I didn't have any pre-flop bets on any of this stuff. Started with Dallas at Washington. Dallas ends up beating the Skins. Josh Johnson at the helm for Washington. By the way, we'll get into all the survivor implications of this because out of 10 entries, we end up with 9 after yesterday. We will talk about that after the break. But real quick on these games, Dallas, 78 yards, including a 4th-and-1 conversion on their own 44 to start. Javonte for 4, 7 plays later. Dak to Ferguson from 6 out, 7-0. 7-3 now. Dallas, next time they had the ball, 17 plays, 65 yards. That was the theme of the day. Including 4th-and-1 at midfield, Dak to Pickens for 19, 4th-and-2 at the 23. They go for it again. Dak to Jalen Tolbert for 4, 4th-and-1 at the Washington 10. They go for it again. Javonte for 1. Javonte in from 4, 14-3. It'll get to 21-3 on the next drive. 5 plays, 97 yards. Dak to Kevontae Turpin from 86 out on 3rd-and-11 at their own 14, 21-3. And so you thought, well, they're just going to roll. But not so fast, my friend. Washington from their own 40 after kick short of the zone. Debo for 29 to start. Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt, Bill, as we like to call him, in from 10 to end it. 21-10 Cowboys, 24-10 at the half. Then Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt from 72 out, second time Washington had the ball in the second half, to cut it to 24-17, 5.5 minutes into the third quarter. An Aubrey field goal extends the Dallas lead to 10 after Frankie Louvu was flagged for a late hit on Dak. After Dak had gotten knocked down and was on its way back up, when Louvu hit him thinking the play was still alive, that would have been a punt situation. Instead, they get a field goal out of it. Moody would kick a field goal, make it 27-20 late third quarter. Aubrey way right on a 58-yard try. He's missed a few here lately. That's not allowed. And then Dallas up 7, 14 plays, 52 yards that took 7:33 off the clock, including a 4th-and-2 conversion. Dak to Tolbert for 7 out. Or Dak to Tolbert for 7 on that 4th-and-2. Aubrey, 51-yard field goal to extend it to 30-23. I thought Dan Quinn did something pretty smart there. Then after a second down, He decided to spike it, or on a second down, he spiked it so Moody could kick a 51-yard field goal to cut it to 30 to 23 north of the two-minute warning. But Washington, with all three timeouts, couldn't stop Dallas. Dallas ran out the clock. 30 to 23, Dallas, 480 total yards, 87 plays, my goodness, in 38 minutes and 44 seconds of time of possession. So if you got the Dallas number late, no way. You didn't win this. Washington covers. Only the 7 or the 6.5 goes the other direction for Dallas. Then the second game is the one of real consequence yesterday. And Wyatt Tomchek is as a Packers fan, very happy with this.
Man, that's the greatest Christmas gift a Vikings fan could give us.
It's the most amazing thing, though. I said it, you know, earlier in the week. I never remember a season with two full weeks left where you only had four playoff spots up for grabs, and now we are barely into the second to last week of the season, and now there's only three left.
You mentioned that, but also how many of the divisions are still alive?
Well, that, yeah. Yes, seeding is ultimately what that comes down to, including the number one seed. But I'm just talking about like the life and death of in or out.
Mm-hmm.
Then there was three spots available because Detroit loses. They are eliminated. What a disappointing season for the Lions. Got to be the most disappointing team, I think, based on expectations in the NFL. They lose to the Vikings. My alt season win total under on the Vikings goes down with it. Not happy. Detroit, though, they third play on their second drive, third and one at their own 18. Goff fumbles the exchange, recovered by Van Ginkle. Minnesota set up at the Detroit 16, five plays in. All yards from Jones on the ground. Jones in from 1-7-0 Vikings late first quarter. Then Detroit second and six, the Minnesota 49. Gibbs hit by Eric Wilson, fumbles. Byron Murphy recovers. That doesn't lead to anything. Detroit then 19 plays, 80 yards. Again, that was the theme of the day. 10 minutes and 8 seconds. All these long drives in these games. They convert a third and 16 to Tesla for 28 along the way, but fourth and one at the Minnesota 3. Montgomery stood up at the line to gain, but he got just enough. The replay showed that he did get it. Two plays later, Goff misses a wide open Giovanni Ricci, second and goal at the 3. Two plays later, fourth and goal at the 4. Goff to Tesla. Great catch. Touchdown 7-7. That would be the score at the half. Although there was a weird sequence at the end where Minnesota called a timeout on their own when they had a third and 16, and Detroit's like, thank you. Didn't lead to anything. Second half, it just got worse for Detroit. Second time they had the ball. Third play, third and 18 at their own 28. Goff picked deep by Byron Murphy Jr. led to a Rikert 52-yard field goal, 10-7 Vikings. Then Detroit, first play, next drive, first and 10 at their own 30. Goff picked by Harrison Smith. Minnesota set up at the Detroit 42. That led to another Rikert 56-yard field goal, 13-7 Vikes. Detroit versus at their own 47. Goff sacked by Dallas Turner. Fumbles recovered by Jalen Redmond. That didn't lead to more points. But Detroit then with a 70-yard punt from Jack Fox. Minnesota pinned at their own 1. That would eventually lead to a 3 and out. And Detroit would turn that short field into a Jake Bates field goal, make it 13-10 Vikings, but only 4:39 left. So Detroit's trying to get Minnesota off the field to have an opportunity to tie it with a field goal or win it with a touchdown. But instead, second play of the drive, second and 10, their own 35. Jordan Addison for 65, dead sprint, going over 21 miles an hour. 20-10 Vikings, code red Lions with 3:43 left. Minnesota had 76 total yards before that run of 65 yards. Detroit third and 10, the Minnesota 43. Goff fumbles the snap. Van Ginkle recovers. More of the same. Couldn't get the Vikings off the field in time after that. Rikert would add a field goal, 23-10. That's how it would end. Six turnovers for the Lions. Six. Minus six turnover differential. You're not beating anybody with that. And the Vikings really took that to the extreme. We're like, we'll show you how you're not beating anybody with a minus six in turnovers. You see the Max Brosmer stats? 9 of 16 for 51. Do we have that tweet, by the way, on Brosmer?
Yes,
this is from OptiStats. So again, I said you're not beating anybody with six turnovers or a minus six turnover differential. Well, Max Brosmer becomes the first player in history. Let me see if I can call this up here on my own here, Wyatt. The first player in history. I want to get this right from OptiStats. First player in history that had. Are you ready for this? The only NFL quarterback in the Super Bowl era to play the entire game finished with under 70 passing yards, 7-plus sacks, and yet still win. All of that because of the six turnovers from the Lions. That's brutal. Lions don't deserve it, don't deserve the win, don't deserve the playoffs. Just a horrible season for them. Yes, tons of injuries. That's the thing. Some teams, right, Lions, Washington, not good enough to absorb the injuries, ultimately. Teams like the Niners, though, it's what makes what they have done all of them more impressive. Yeah, and they've had the ultimate, right? Bosa and Warner on defense.
Yeah, that's been a big talk on Money Moves filling in for Justin Emery producing. JVT has talked about, you know, Kyle Shanahan. I think should get more love in the Coach of the Year race for what he has been able to accomplish.
He should.
They're going to be potentially a number one seed, could win the NFC West with all those players that they lost. It's dang impressive.
It is dang impressive, to use your adjective there. It is dang impressive. It's... I think he should be, Kyle Shanahan should be part of that. That's a whole different discussion, but he should absolutely be in the mix, and that's where you don't know if the betting market reflects what the actual voters are thinking. So that's that. So the Lions are done. So Green Bay is in, and that, as we talked about earlier in the week, from the very beginning of the week on Guessing Lines, if somehow the Lions were to lose to the Vikings, then it creates this situation now on Saturday where Green Bay, they're just playing for seeding now.
Mm-hmm.
And do they rush Jordan Love back in? He was trending to play. Maybe they do. Maybe the Lions are like, yeah, we're playing. We can still win our division. So we're absolutely going full throttle on this. But they certainly don't have to worry about the downside anymore.
That's probably the nicest part.
Yeah.
Not having, you know, potentially disaster happening where you lose two games, the Lions win two games, and all of a sudden within a month you're like, we could be the number one seed. Now we potentially miss out on the playoffs, so it's big sigh of relief for Packer fans.
Big sigh of relief for Packers fans. That's a Saturday game against the Ravens. Of course, it means everything to the Ravens. By the way, though, hasn't affected the line. If anything, Packers even a bigger favorite with all the injury news with the Ravens. We'll get to the third game and the survivor implications next. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Fremont Street Experience is always on, but this New Year's Eve, they're turning it all the way up. Ring in 2026 at Countdown Under the Canopy. Happening December 31st, all night long, you'll get six live concerts on three stages. Listen to this. Featuring Robin Thicke. Let's go. CeeLo Green and Chingy, plus a massive countdown and light spectacular on the iconic Fremont Street Canopy. One ticket, one night, just $60. And the party starts at 7 p.m. and it don't stop. All right, maybe it stops eventually. Grab your tickets now at VegasExperience.com, the Slotzilla box office, or at any gate location on December 31st. I've done Slotzilla, by the way. I've done those zip lines up there.
Have you say you've done
that? I did Superman style. You can do it sitting and you can do Superman. I went Superman back in the day.
I think in, gosh, this had been a commercial a few years ago when Stormy did it for What's the Guarantee? I think she did Superman.
Yeah. It's super cool. And it's all based on your weight, too. If you start at this, like, Gracie was little at the time when we did it.
Mm-hmm.
And I, like, flew double the speed, right? I'm like, is she okay? Like, I couldn't. And you can't look back. You can't see if she gets there. She finally got there, obviously.
She's she's just, like, trying to push. I'm coming. Don't worry. I'm almost here.
That's a hell of a show, though. Robin Thicke, CeeLo Green. Come on. What's your favorite Robin Thicke song, Wyatt?
Oh, man. I don't know.
Correct answer is The Sweetest Love. Thanks for playing.
All right, you're the music guy. I'm not really that big on music.
The third. By the way, CeeLo's got some bangers. Third game of the day yesterday. We got to get to the survivor implications. But third, this will take literally like 60 seconds. Denver, Kansas City. Denver, 14 plays, 8:02 to start. 8 minutes, 2 seconds off the clock. 27-yard field goal from Lutz. They settle for 3-0. Next time they had the ball, 3rd and 12 of their own 17. Knicks picked by Nick Bolton off a deflection by Christian Fulton. Great play by Fulton. Sets up the Chiefs at the Denver 35. 10 plays it took them 35 yards in 5:04, including 4th and 1 at the Denver 11 when Hunt went for 5. 3 plays later, Oladokun to Breshard Smith from 5 out. 7-3 Chiefs. And then the Broncos later, 16 plays, 79 yards in 8:04, where they'd have to sell for a Lutz 30-yard field goal. 7-6 Chiefs at the half. Then 10-6 Denver, second half, 14 plays, 72 yards in 9:47. This time they did cash it in. Knicks in from 9 after a 4th and 1 conversion. 13-10 Broncos late third quarter. And then the two drives later for Kansas City, after Breshard Smith 44-yard punt return. That would set them up in Denver territory. Butker would get a field goal out of that to tie it at 13 apiece with 8:03 left. But then once again, Denver from their own 35, 14 plays. They get to the 4th and 2 at the Kansas City 9 with 2 minutes left, and Chris Jones jumps offside. Come on. 3 plays later, Nix to Harvey from one out, 20-13 Broncos. Game would end when Kansas City, with one timeout, 98 yards, total yards to this moment in the game. They would get as far as the Denver 21, but turn it over on downs, ball game. Broncos hold the Chiefs to 139 total yards, 10 first downs. Broncos possess the ball for 39 minutes and 28 seconds to the Chiefs, 20 minutes and 32 seconds. Oladokun threw for 66 yards. That's it. Broncos win a typical Broncos win as they have all year long. A tight game against a not-so-good team. That's kind of their brand. And yet, the Denver Broncos now are 60 football minutes away from the number one seed in the AFC. Houston no longer eligible for the number one seed. So four other teams can still get the number one seed. But the Broncos, it's on their racket, as we like to say. So, what does that mean for Circa Survivor? Oh, boy. Yesterday, as we talked about all week, 10 entries left. Nobody had the Broncos yesterday. Remember, Christmas acts as its own day at Circa Survivor, the $18,718,000 Circa Survivor Classic. 10 entries left heading into the week, but nobody had the Broncos available. Nobody had the Lions available. And by the way, this is, again, we don't talk about this enough with Survivor. People don't acknowledge it enough. One of the biggest assists in all of Survivor is you are boxed out of a team and can't play them at all. So no one could lose on Detroit, in other words, yesterday. Just one example of so many. So nobody had Denver, nobody had Detroit. 5 did have the Cowboys. Those are the 3 favorites going up against the poo-poo platter of quarterbacks in Josh Johnson, Max Brosmer, and Chris Oladokun. I'm sure they're all lovely people, but you know what I mean. The 5 that did have the Cowboys played the Cowboys. They got the win early. They advance. Now, the 5 that had to choose from Johnson, Brosmer, or Oladokun, 4 end up going with the Vikings. 1 with the Commanders. Nobody took the Chiefs. Now, the dude who took the Commanders, respect. Let's give this man his respect, because his strategy was, I'm going to go oppo the guys that I know 5 are taking the Cowboys. If I'm going to win this, let me also knock out 5 in the process. That will move my entry. This is me putting myself in his shoes. That will move my entry, catapult me forward in terms of the value of the entry. It's the most plus EV play. Now, he wasn't dumb. Derek Stevens, owner of Circa, yesterday tweeting out that he took care of his, you know, this was also the problem. We talked about this as well, right? Which is, because the teams, the favorites were such big favorites, these were not easy hedging situations. So, dude who had the Commanders, and this is Derek Stevens during our show yesterday, he said 10 minutes ago, took a $1,181,000 wager on the Cowboys as a hedge to his Commanders Circus Survivor entry. Derek was looking for some Commanders buyback at that point. And that was to win that $1,181,000 wager was to win over $300,000. It was to win, I'll tell you exactly the number to be thorough, $367,222 to the dollar.
This is nice, easy money.
And so there you go. Good on the guy who took the Commanders. At least he comes out with that amount of money, minus his entry fees, whatever. So good. It was a great in the end, he comes out whole, and it was a wonderful experience. Did he win over $1 million? Did he win 7 figures and whatever the final chop might be? No. But good on him. This was a cruel way that this evolved for Circa Survivor players who got this far, who got 17 out of the 20 weeks through of this gauntlet that is Survivor, and Circa Survivor specifically with the extra weeks, to make it 20 different quote-unquote weeks. They get through 17, and then all these guys get hurt, right? Mahomes, who they couldn't have anticipated, Jaden Daniels earlier in the year, so they did have some time to deal with that. But it was a completely jacked-up situation for 5 of these entries. But the other 4, right? But those five, they avoided the Lions, though, because nobody had the Lions available. So they did get that assist. And four of those five, only the guy who took the Commanders, CZ3 picks, I believe, something like that was his name. Only the other four took the Vikings. And we just went through the Max Brosmer stats. That's what an unbelievable advance that is.
You are skipping with joy today. How in the heck, with Max Brosmer throwing for, what was it, 50-something passing yards, you were able to win this late in Circa Survivor? I would have been just sweating bullets. I'm like, well, Gil, I would have told you if I was this lucky and this far to get there, I'd be like, yeah, we had a good, great run. You know, just injuries happen. It's like fantasy football. Injuries happen. We ain't going to win.
They picked the correct one out of the three in the Vikings. That's the first thing, obviously. But then they get a quarterback performance. We'll say it again. The only NFL quarterback in the Super Bowl era to play the entire game and finish with under 70 passing yards and get sacked 7+ times and still win. Thank you, Detroit Lions, and your 6 turnovers. Your -6 turnover differential. It's incredible.
Sports can be dumb sometimes.
Sports can be dumb.
Really dumb.
Well said. Sports can be dumb. Sports betting can be dumb. Contests can be dumb. Good on y'all. So what ends up happening now? So now there's two quote-unquote weeks left. Now it's clean, right? Thanksgiving and Christmas are behind those folks in Circus Survivor. There are 9 entries left. The intrinsic value of each of those remaining 9 entries now goes from $1,871,700, do I believe I have that correct, to $2,079,777.78. That's the value of each of these remaining entries. Now, courtesy of KFlow, our buddy KFlorenz1 on Twitter, here's the availability in descending order of spread. He really did this nicely, KFlow, for us. This is so the only two that have announced their intention to play. Real Bro at the bottom, you see the asterisk? He has said, playing the Bengals. And then the other one, can I find the other asterisk? Yes, at the top. Of course, right. He has announced he's taking the Buccaneers. Those numbers in the parentheses are the number of the 9 that have those particular teams available. So that's the choice now. I still say that the only, I don't know, I mean, it's interesting. No, but there's no Dallas on that list. He didn't include Dallas. Dallas at the Giants, that's an interesting play. I don't know why. Oh, because now Dallas is gone. That's why, because they used all the rest of the Dallases yesterday. That's exactly right. So nobody has Dallas available. So I think New England is, to me, New England is an obvious play. The problem, again, with, and I cited these when we did the Survivor segment earlier in the week, the problem with a couple of these, specifically Jacksonville and New England, is that there is value in playing them next week. So I take that back, what I said about New England. Jacksonville and New England have much more favorable matchups next week. So I think the strategy is to steer clear of those two if you have those two available. One person has Jacksonville, 4 have New England. We'll see. Good luck to all.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Reaching people is easy. Reaching the right people is everything. Mission Media helps your brand do exactly that. Their cross-platform strategies hit fans wherever they're watching or listening. Podcasts, connected TV, streaming, digital, all of it. And because Mission Media is the exclusive advertising partner for VSiN, you get direct access to one of the most loyal, engaged, and bet-ready sports audiences in the country. Oh, you can say that again. These are fans who respond, engage, and convert. If you want your message in front of people who actually take action, Mission Media makes it happen. Visit VSiN.com/advertise or email us at advertising@VSiN.com. We get tweets beating the book. Always appreciate everybody. This morning, every morning, Merry Christmas to all. Happy New Year. This is, once again, I want to cite this. Bi-week picks reminding us. This is from Dr. Bob. Once again, we talked about teams in a must-win situation like the Lions were yesterday, right? Must-win situation, had to win to stay alive against a team that has already been eliminated. Entering yesterday's game, those teams in the quote-unquote must-win situations, per Dr. Bob, 73-108-5 against the spread. Make it 73-109-5 against the spread. Remember, as Bob says, if you're in a must-win situation, you must not be that good. Thank you, Bi-Week Picks, for reminding us of that. Brian Schaefer, 31. Wouldn't Jeff Parlay be the Donald Trump of producers, too? Yes, he would be. You're right. It's no longer just the Grover Cleveland of producers. Donald Trump are producers too. Again, the only two American presidents that had terms that were sandwiching, if you will, someone else's term. Scuba Scott, you think next year the NFL would be better off waiting and flexing the Christmas games after Thanksgiving? Next year's a leap year, so Christmas falls on a Saturday, and let me be not the first to wish you a Happy New Year. Thank you, Scuba. I appreciate it. Yeah, I don't know if they're going to do that. They like to have their Christmas matchups locked in, but man, this was the year they could have used it, that's for sure. And Reed Wilson, talking about Fezzik not being here today, nor Felica, says, we may lose Crack if he didn't get a tetanus shot. Hope Crack's okay. I was texting with him yesterday. He showed the picture of that of the dog that bit him. That dog got a good gash out of his leg. Not shark-like, but close. And Chris Heath, all settled in the NFC North and the entire division could finish over 500. Well, that last part's correct. The entire division could finish over 500, but not all is settled. Packers can still win the division. Let us not forget that. They are 4.5-point favorites now, hosting the Ravens tomorrow in a game, again, where they don't have to worry about getting knocked out of the playoffs now that the Lions have lost. JVT, kind enough to join us on this day after Christmas 2025. Jonathan Von Tobel, co-host of Money Moves, which he does with Stormy Bonnetone each and every Monday through Friday right after this show. John, Merry Christmas. The kids are loving it. We were talking a little bit about this off air.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is like, for me, peak Christmas. We're getting into it, at least. Like, my oldest kid's 7, youngest kid is 4, so he's, I think, probably in the next year going to snap into reality and realize that he is, you know, a self-conscious being. So those sort of things are all going to kind of come together to create a pretty good run. So for right now, we're still in, like, the magical Christmas, Santa's a real thing kind of a deal. Sorry if people are listening. But wow. Yeah, that's something that I think is really fun.
Wow. But that's kind of news we didn't mean to break on this show this morning. Right there.
Apologies.
Yeah, let's act like it didn't happen. Okay, let's start with the low-hanging fruit.
Is that dump button worthy?
I actually think that's more dump button worthy than anything else with a potty mouse on this show when they start saying other things. All right, let's start with the low-hanging fruit. Do you have anything on these three bowl games today? Are you betting anything in these?
No, I mean, I will say this, and it's actually, I think it's akin to what Dr. Bob was spitting out there with your must wins in the National Football League. I do think at times in bowl season, you get like the motivated side that gets a little bit overvalued. And so today, for example, I think who would fall into that category is New Mexico. Like, I love Jason Eck and this New Mexico team more than anybody, Gil, but Fleck in this Minnesota group has done well under him. He is a good bowl coach. He has his teams always ready to go. When this was 3, I thought that was a fair play there on New Mexico. But the fact that we're down to 1 at multiple spots, and we'll see what happens by the time we get to kickoff, I think you make a very strong case that the buyback should be here and should be coming on Minnesota against New Mexico. Lobos are going to be very motivated, but Minnesota is still a good team. I don't think the difference between these two is just 1.5.
Yeah. Don't want to get in front of the PJ Fleck bowl experience, I understand. Yep. And you're right. You probably, I like that you own that. You're like, no one likes New Mexico more than JVT has throughout the season. All right, to the quarterfinals themselves next week. We're still a week away. New Year's, well, a little less than a week now. New Year's Eve for the Miami-Ohio State game. The other three quarterfinals then on New Year's Day. Standalone college football. No rando bowls besides that on New Year's Eve. What are your favorite bets amongst the quarterfinal games?
Yeah, so we'll go with Miami and Ohio State. I'm going to hold out, see if I can get that 10. I'll be on Miami. You know, I know that game was pretty ugly, but I think the wind had a lot to do with it. I still believe in Miami and the trenches on both sides. I think that they are skilled enough here to stay inside of a big number. I understand how good Ohio State is, but I think the game plan, the road trip, if you will, that you take if you get Miami to cover this game is Julian Sain, who largely has not been tested too much in a game that all of a sudden he is asked to do a little much on his shoulders because Miami can come up there, bow up a little bit to make him a little bit more one-dimensional. I think they can stay inside of a low-scoring game inside of 10. So if it gets 10, I'm going to be in on Miami. I'll be holding out to see if that gets there. And I'll see where this gets to, too, but I like Texas Tech. You know, maybe I'm doing a little too much, but you go back to that game against Indiana, Gil. One of the things that stuck out for Oregon, they got beat up along that offensive line. This is a really good defensive line for Texas Tech. They got sacked, Dante Moore did 6 times that game against Indiana, and I think it's a better defensive front with Texas Tech. I think they come in here, win the game outright. Stormy's got a good one on her hands because this is where she'll be at this coming week. And I think this is the best of the bowl games, and I think Texas Tech can get this thing done.
Good for Stormy. She did a national semi before, didn't she, on the sideline, if I'm not mistaken?
Was the Rose Bowl a national semi last year, right?
So, yes. Last year, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. To the National Football League, week number 17, that which remains after yesterday's sort of trio of, by the way, did you catch the Netflix broadcast performance in that game? Did that bother you as much as it bothered me? That was just awful.
No, I saw, I mean, to tie into my fatherhood, I know that the K-pop Demon Hunter ladies were there, but I didn't watch.
Oh, God. The Nate Burleson, Matt Ryan in the booth with Ian Eagle experiment, it was not fun. What do you have rest of the week, either tomorrow or Sunday, or Monday even?
Yeah. I mean, for sure, Houston tomorrow is going to be is the side for me. I like him here against L.A. I think one of the things that Justin Herbert has done brilliantly is play under pressure. But I think as we know when we evaluate quarterbacks, your play under pressure can be pretty random. So, like, if you're going to get hot for a while, then that's going to be good for you. But I think this is going to be a different animal taking on Houston here. It's going to be a lot harder to navigate the pressure that Houston is going to bring with just their down four and how good their corners are. I think it's just a good matchup for the Texans. And from a power rating standpoint, too, you know, I don't think these two teams are near equals to each other or an essential equals to each other. But this is what this market's saying. I think the Texans are better. So give me Houston here in this spot. And then the rest of the way, too, I do have a couple like teasers. I tease the Texans up with the Tennessee Titans. I think that's a really good spot to be in, getting the Titans up to 8.5 in a game with a total of 39.5 against the New Orleans Saints. And I do think the Titans are the side there against the Saints as well. Shuck has been playing relatively well for the New Orleans Saints, but the film nerds would tell you, and some of the numbers would too, Gil, that it's not as good as we're making it out to be.
Yeah.
And I think we might be getting a little far out of our skis here on Tyler Shuck and the Saints experiment.
I'm with you. Okay. I can't let you go without talking about this. Yesterday, the San Antonio Spurs pull off the three-peat, if you will, in a two-week span over the Oklahoma City Thunder. Now, when they beat the Thunder in the semis of the NBA Cup, I was out here with Drew and Kelly, your NBA brethren. I was like, you know, I just felt like in that game, the Spurs were the surer thing when they had the basketball in crunch time versus the vaunted OKC squad. And they kind of looked at me a little bit funny. And then the Spurs beat the Thunder again. And then yesterday in the first quarter, John, I couldn't take it anymore. I bet the Spurs 19-1 to win it all. And I bet the Spurs to face the Celtics in the finals at 125-1. Am I wrong that the Spurs are not live this year?
No, I don't think you're wrong. It's funny. I was doing the whole thing with Zach like weeks ago, Zach Cohen and Kelly Bidlin on our Harvard Handicappers group chat, where it was just like, you know, I'm kind of tired of like being afraid of saying that the Spurs might be kind of legit a year ahead of schedule. You know, like they look good. They've got Wembanyama, the young guards that they have and just the young pieces in general. Castle and Harper are awesome. De'Aaron Fox is fitting in really well. And then San Antonio, of course, with Victor Wembanyama on the floor is absolutely incredible, especially on defense. No, I don't think you're crazy at all to kind of sit back and think that they could be ahead of schedule. And Gil, to your point, I mean, it's not like they're doing this against, you know, whatever, Denver or Houston. No, they're doing it against the vaunted Thunder that should be the one that is in the way. I think they can push them much more than people are giving them credit for. Now, I think we should be fair. In two of the three games they've played, the Thunder have shot under like 32% from three. It's been abysmal, so maybe that corrects itself. But there's a reason why they're shooting that way. Interesting note. One of the defensive assistants for the Dallas Mavericks from a few years back, remember when the Mavericks beat the Thunder in that second round series, he is now a defensive assistant and game planner for San Antonio. And I think that has really kind of played out here in this series that they've played with each other.
Interesting. So give me the OKC Thunder's final record. Now that we've said, okay, well, they're not breaking the record anymore. Can they get to 70 still? I thought that was like easy peasy a little while ago. Can they do that still?
I think they can. Like, probably like 69 to like 70 is probably the range that they fall. Like, I don't know. I think they can still really push for this. Ripping off a winning streak when they're as good as they are, I think, is something that's certainly plausible here, especially when they start to get a little bit healthier and a guy like Jalen Williams gets his legs out from underneath them, too. I mean, remember, he is coming back from a long-term injury as well. I think they can still push for that 70 win mark. Absolutely.
Okay. John, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Are you here today for Money Moves? Or are you off?
I am. I'll see you in a couple hours.
All right. JVT with Stormy coming up after the show today, just a little more than a couple hours from now. Thank you, John. Appreciate it.
You got it, buddy.
At me, JVT for Jonathan Von Tobel, by the way. And again, Money Moves 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, each and every Monday through Friday. We'll come back. Are we sure? The Wyatt Tomchek version on a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting Network.
Back on a numbers game live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander. The best part about having Wyatt Tomchek up on desk with me today is that the respect that the guys behind the glass show you is just, it just comes through the glass. Just amazing.
Well, they it's easy for them to talk smack to me when I'm out here. When I go in there,
that's right.
It gets even louder.
Now, we gave Danny Higgins his street cred, saying he was a pro football player in Europe. But let's remind everybody, by the way, Wyatt Tomcheck at Tomcheck W. That's not Czech as in CK, but just Tomcheck, the European version, if you will. Tomcheckw. You are the voice of UNLV what?
The main one, voice of the UNLV Lady Rebels, who had a big win last Saturday against New Mexico. I also do volleyball, men's and women's soccer, and softball. I forgot to tell you.
How's my girl doing?
She checked in for the first time last game against New Mexico. UNLV, they hit 16 three-pointers, so it was a surprise blowout win, and she got in for like the last, we would say, minute.
Okay.
She put up a shot, missed it, but it kind of surprised me when she came in. I was like, oh man. I was like.
And if she hits and if she hits a three, what are you supposed to say on the broadcast? Okay.
She told me, shalosh. You said it's different, but she's from Israel.
It's shalosh. It's not shalosh.
She said it that way.
Okay. We'll have to have a talk about this.
It's all right. My Hebrew, it was not very good.
Yeah. Well, that's great that she's playing. Yeah. I like it. So it's basketball, it's volleyball, those two.
Men's and women's soccer and softball.
Okay. Why Tomcheck, everybody? UNLV stalwart across multiple sports. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from LFC Title Records. Just started the drive from Minnesota to Las Vegas with my family. Wow. Thinking about taking my nephew Charles to his first NFL game, Brent just might have talked Arlene into taking a look at this dart kid in person. P.S. Sorry about your Vikings win total. Yikes. Yeah, man, that was rough. The Vikings snatching that alt-season win total under away from me at plus 220.
But by the way, Gil, it's been a bit on money moves. JVT's been thinking about going to his first NFL game. It's the Raiders and Giants. Like,
JVT's never been to an NFL game?
He has not been to an NFL game. I was surprised to hear that.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was the nice part about doing the numbers game trek to the NBA Cup that we had. Was it Darnell that was his first game? First NBA game? Darnell, yeah.
Darnell with the greatest photo of all time.
Darnell was not, I don't know how much of the NBA game Darnell ended up soaking in.
By the way, I went to my first NBA game earlier this month when we were in Houston for women's basketball. We saw the Rockets versus the Suns.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. LFC Title Records trying to make his way to Vegas to see the Giants and the Raiders. By the way, what he was referencing, I mentioned earlier in the week that the great Brent Musburger had come into the studio last week after one of the shows, and he said he was trying to sell these Giants-Raiders tickets, and there were no takers. So then he had to convince his wife, Arlene. He was like, we can go see that kid from Ole Miss, Jackson Dart. Trying to convince her to go to that. That was his selling point. James Moran, Packers still with a solid chance to win division? Yeah, we mentioned that. And get the 2 seed. Don't see them resting anybody tomorrow unless they really can't go. Yeah, I mean, there is the possibility, right, where if Jordan Love was in a touch-and-go situation with out of concussion protocol or in, that they might have said if he was out of the protocol, maybe they would have said at that point, yeah, I know he's out of protocol, but we don't want to risk anything. But it doesn't sound like he's in – it sounds like, based on everything we're hearing, he's fine.
Limited in practice, which is a good sign before.
Well, limited in practice, you're not allowed to do the full practice and protocol earlier in the week, and then you're upgraded. But what was Malik Willis's quote was, he's chilling. That was his quote.
I like Malik Willis. I wish Green Bay can keep him for forever. He's such a great backup.
Jakob Ellis at Wapezi Capital. When daycare is closed for the holidays, you teach them young. My 2.5-year-old listens to Uncle Gil better than he listens to me. Happy holidays, gentlemen. Appreciate all you do for the community. Thank you. He has a picture of his kid. We'll probably show this later. Just enraptured by us on the TV screen. We have a lot of responsibility here, Wyatt. I hope that kid didn't hear what JVT had to say.
I know. It was breaking news. I was informed that Santa Claus just missed my house this year.
Just stop it. Oh, I thought you were going to say that. Oh, okay. Should use the dump button on that earlier. Primetime Cowboys _Cubs1. Yo, hey, man. A very Merry Kwanzaa to you, Wilers, and the crew.
I forgot about that.
Speaking of Netflix and Matt Ryan, it's nice to know that every officiating decision is one, quote, they are going to call every time, unquote. Really? At least the good guys in America came out on top. Peace and love. Well, peace and love to you besides that last part. Yes. Cowboys beat the Skins. It happens. That broadcast, I'll leave it alone at this, but that Netflix, Will Hill was particularly annoyed by the Netflix broadcast yesterday. It was terrible. Not only was the Nate Burleson, and I know Nate Burleson's a big star at CBS doing their morning show. I think it's called the CBS Morning Show. Maybe there's another title to it. The real one, Monday through Friday, right? They're equivalent to the Today Show. I know he does that. I know he is Obviously on the NFL pregame show, right, in the studio with James Brown, and I don't know what they told him before these games, but like it wasn't necessary for him to try to talk over everything. And then the interviews, my God, with like Clinton Portis and Emmett Smith during the game. Do we really need, have we really gotten to the point in football where we need that? I love Portis, don't get me wrong. By the way, and the audio was so, the quality was so bad for those interviews. I was like, what are we doing?
Well, thankfully, okay, I was working live at Christmas yesterday with Stormy and Andy Gresh, so I had everything on mute, so I didn't get to the full experience that everyone else was.
You end up being the winner. Lawrence Carter, good morning, ANG. Expanding on the Spurs and Wemby, I bet him for MVP at 9-1 early, and after him missing games, his MVP odds moved to 150-1 at MGM. I realized Wemby must make the 65-game minimum. Took another piece. Yeah, that's the bugaboo with that bet, right? He's got to get to 65 games. And Money Gun Guz, wrestling question for Wyatt. How does he feel about Cena's retirement tour in the last match? I was not a fan of the tap out and felt like Cena's matches were not that great. Thanks. Money Gun, you have stole my thunder. This is the only thing I was interested in to ask him about wrestling. What about that?
So the Cena retirement tour, I mean, it had a lot of ups and downs. I think what they did, the big shock of Cena turning heel. He had never turned to be a bad guy.
Right.
And
thank you for finding that. Appreciate
they did it to perfection. It was beautifully done. But the execution afterwards was really left to be desired. A big reason why is that The Rock wasn't a part of it, so it kind of lost its luster. But the overall retirement tour, it had some really good moments and some moments you're like, eh, we could have lived without it. But there were some matches, like he had two really good matches against Cody Rhodes at SummerSlam, which was great, and then against AJ Styles. The match that I saw when I saw him at WrestleMania was so-so.
I think you told me off air he's top five wrestler of all time, in your opinion?
Oh, yeah, I would agree. Yeah.
Well, I'm saying you said it, so yeah. I hope you would agree with yourself. Yes. So who are the other four?
So this is WWE. Overall wrestling, I would still put Cena top five, but I would say in the landscape of WWE, you put Rock, Austin, Hulk Hogan, John Cena. And then Ric Flair wasn't much of a WWE wrestler. He was more known as a WCW wrestler. So if you do wrestling, I'd put him there. But out of WWE, I think you'd probably put The Undertaker at number five.
Okay.
But the Cena, wow. So people were upset that Cena lost his last match. That's the perfect way to go because you are saying goodbye. You do nothing to help the organization winning your last match. You want to help build up the future. And I thought the match was going to be a little bit more chaotic with a lot more people coming in and you know, some surprise people from Cena's past. Him smiling when he's like, and then tapped out, I thought it was a little cheesy, but I thought the match was great, and it was the right call because you are passing the torch to somebody else, and the gentleman's name is Gunther, the Ring General.
Okay.
I believe that's how he says it. He goes on Raw the next week and the following week after that, and he's getting massive heat. Perfect. That's exactly what you want to do. You want to pass the torch and give somebody the boost that they need because Cena doesn't need the boost. He's done.
All right. It's about enough wrestling. What do you think? I don't know if you know this, but it's fake. Do you know that?
It's scripted.
Oh, okay. Just curious. All right, let's do it. Are we sure? Hit it.
You think you know what's going on in the sports betting world?
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
Gil and Kelly tackle the hard-hitting questions on another exciting edition of Are We Sure?
All right, this is going to extend into the next segment. Just warning all the affiliates. Warning all the affiliates now. It's going to go to the next section, but let's get a couple
all right,
in
I'm,
here.
I'm excited for this one here. Gil, are we sure the Broncos can win the Super Bowl?
No, I'm not. I never thought I know they are 60 football minutes away from being the number one seed. The number one seed, there's no greater advantage, right? People talk about matchups that you want to have. No, you just don't, not playing a game is the greatest advantage you could have. But no, I don't think they're going to win. I don't think they're going to get to the Super Bowl. I don't think that offense is good enough.
Do you think they could potentially be a one and done?
Potentially.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, next one here. I know that they just missed the playoffs, but do you think this overall landscape for the Detroit Lions, has their run come to an end?
It's a great question. I don't think it has come to an end, but I think the window has moved towards shutting. Let's put it that way. It's going in that direction now.
Because I think, what was it?
See, unlike the Washingtons of the world, right, who have a young quarterback, that's the problem with the Detroit Lions franchise.
And I believe Jared Goff has a really high cap hit next year. So
they got decisions to make. And Dan Campbell has a decision to make about himself calling plays. right at the top.
And I think this also goes to show that, hey, Ben Johnson, he's a dang good coach.
Ben Johnson is the one who looks the best out of all of this, for sure. And by the way, I don't know why did, you know, Dan Campbell take away play calling duties from Johnny Morton when he did? That is still not, like, totally clear why that decision was made. More are we sure on the other side. We'll go through all the NFL games that remain in Week 17. Numbers Game, VEASAN, the Sports Betting Network.